Hey, this is Tim Hunzi, partner of Parallel Music Publishing and board member of the Nashville Association of Independent Music Publishers. Thanks for listening to the Nashville Pubcast. This episode of Nashville Pubcast, we have hit songwriter and publisher Ashley Gourley, owner of Tape Room Music. Ashley shares that songwriting was a vehicle to drive him to his goal of being a publisher.
I guess I moved here in 95, which is a long time ago. So long enough for this to be home for me, you know, from central Kentucky, Danville, Kentucky. And went to Belmont University, interned everywhere, and through a series of figuring out what I wasn't good enough at, then, you know, I was like, maybe going to be an engineer, did horribly in that, but still learned enough for it to help me. And then was going to do production, just a little too ADD to focus in and fine tune things enough. So all that stuff drove me nuts. So I just knew I loved songs, and I knew I wasn't an artist and didn't want to be. So songwriting and publishing kind of had an equal love for both those. I started out DJing and making tracks back home through middle and high school, and just loved all kinds of music. And so fell in love with Nashville as a town, and wanted to put down roots here. So I actually wanted to be a publisher first, and then figured out that I could write somewhere along the way. So both of those have always been equal loves for me. So since then, I've written for a few different companies, Combustion Music for a really long time. I was partners with for several years, like 18 years. Been partners with Warner Chappell and now Round Hill. And I have Tape Room Music now. Blaine Rhodes running the show for me. So it's been a nice, fortunate time.
One of the questions I love to ask you guys is, there had to be some sort of inspiration to make you decide, because it is a time-consuming and challenge to start taking on other writers. And I don't think every songwriter, hit songwriter, has the mental, probably not even the right word, mental capabilities, but it's a different
game. Well, the passion,
game.
Yeah. It's not an extra, it's not a tack on at the end. You know what I mean? It's not like a black, you know, backsplash on the counters when you're building the house. It's not like you can just, oh, I'm just going to sign writers now. I think a lot of people come to me like that and say, hey, I want to start signing some writers and make some extra money. I'm like, dude, that's a horrible idea. Like, go do something else, you know, because mine is just birthed out of a passion. I've always wanted to do that, you know, and I wanted to be a publisher as long as I've known what publishing is, you know, when I was in college and figured out what that was and worked at Hamstein and Music Mill and all those places and was like, man, I want to do this. I want to help songs find a home. So I've always had like an A&R / publishing / creative production. All that stuff's always been lumped together for me. So it wasn't like a question of hey, do I want to sign right? Like, that was always something I wanted to do, was publish. I just wanted to get, you know, get deep enough in the songwriting world where that mattered, you know, because I don't, no reason to sign writers unless you feel like you can offer something to them. So that's been a passion of mine since I moved here. So I'm fortunate to be able to do that now.
What period of time did you start bringing on writers underneath you?
I signed Zach Crowell 7 years ago.
He's done all right.
He's done okay.
He's
I wrote
a good
his,
kid.
I wrote, I mean, and talk about Green. I mean, I wrote his first song with him ever. He was tour managing Josh Hogue because it's his cousin. We were working on Josh's pop record for Columbia, LA, and he was touring. I mean, the crazy scenario, the way we met, and I was like, man, this guy's really good. I always loved his demos and his thoughts on production, and I would just hear the stuff Josh was working on, and he would do demos for us or for Josh, and I was like, man, we should write. So we all hung out and wrote a song, and some American Idol guy cut it. Josh cut it too, but it was like an R&B, you know, R&B pop thing. So Zach was selling hip hop tracks for cash in Nashville, which is probably not the best gig, the combination of all that.
That's when I met him. He was working.
And they were good.
They were
really good. Yeah. He's just a worker, man. And I think hit it off on a personal level. And then I've been fortunate, hopefully get to continue to work with him. So I've been working together, you know, ever since then. And Combustion Music did a lot for him. Kenley Flynn and Falcon and those guys really helped him, you know, calendar wise. Meet Sam Hunt and all the other things that have changed his life. So he was the first guy, and that was a JV between me, Combustion, and I think at the time it was Southside, which became Warner, basically, because Cameron Strang ran that company. And so those were like, you know, that was the JV that I started out with, and I signed Zach Crowell, Matt Jenkins, and Jerry Flowers. I'd known Matt for a while and known Jerry for a while. So those were two guys I wanted to work with, you know, once I got that company or that venture kind of established. So those are kind of a couple of no-brainer guys I wanted to bring in.
And when you brought them in, are you hands on? Like, did you sit and work with them and critique their songs as well, or pitch their stuff, or was it more? Because I know at that time you had a great team with Combustion, and I'm sure they handled some of that.
It was hands on. It's more than, you know. And there's no right or wrong way to do it. Some writers are more hands on. I am because I feel like it's a passion project for me. So I wrote a lot of the stuff with Zach, and then I wrote, you know, a lot with Matt and Jerry too. But they also had their own skill set, so it's not like I mean, Combustion did a lot of the workload as far as like getting their calendars up to speed, and I was helping with big picture stuff. But they all send me, and still do send me, songs in work tape form. Hey, I feel like something's missing from this. What do you think's up with this? What's wrong with this? All my writers, including them, still do that. I want to be that outlet for them because that's where I think come in handy the most. Or like, you know, me and Zach are going out this weekend and again next month to work with artists, and we write together. So it's a cool relationship. So I write with all those guys. But I also, you know, try to find them the right relationships with each other, you know. So we've had hits, all four of us have written together, and they've all obviously had hits they've written with other people that I'm not a part of at all, that we helped set up. So
now, do you find that as exciting, or do you have that little bit of like, man, I wish I would have gotten that cut, or is it kind of a both kind of thing?
I don't sometimes? Have that. I've been very blessed, so I don't ever have like, oh man, I wish I was. I mean, I wish I wrote Body Like a Back Road. That'd be awesome. Yeah. But it's not like that's not my first thought. My first thought is like, oh, this is amazing that I get to be part of this at all.
You know,
so when he plays me stuff, if him and Sam are working on something, or him and Carrie Underwood and Josh Osborne write a song, yeah, my initial thought is not like, oh, you know.
Yeah,
I wish I'd have done that right instead. It's like, hey, that's not my role. You know, like I said, this is something where I want to see these guys grow and write songs that I can't write, you know, that I'm not capable of writing, or make choices I wouldn't make in a room. That's why I have them, you know.
That's so fantastic.
It's not like I want to jump on things or change them or anything like that. I really, really get excited when I hear something like, wow, how did you guys come up with this? This is great. And trying to see that song through. And I did a lot of that. With Combustion, that was really, really fun doing that. It's fun to have a team, because then it was just me. Tape Room was just in my brain and on my phone. So it wasn't like, you know, now we have an office and I have creative director and other interns and all that stuff. But then it was just me kind of teaming up. So we just have power meetings and try to figure out who Matt and Zach and Jerry should be writing with, and how to get them in the right rooms and all that stuff.
I mean, I'll brag on you some, because I know some of your story, and I remember, because I was working with Jeff Carlton, who has a part of both of our lives, my first mentor and kind of always been a long time friend of yours. But I remember him coming to me and asking, he goes, hey man, Gourley had hit me up about working with him. You think you and Rusty — he also worked for Rusty Gaston on a consultant basis — and help him with his writers. And I love the explanation he gave, which I was, of course, totally fine with. He goes, Ashley knew how he got brought up in the old school publishing. He wants me to help work with his writers and critique their songs, because Jeff he's so good at that. It's a gift of his. And I just always thought that was fantastic. When he told me that, I said, now that's a guy who really wants to be a publisher, that really wants to focus on giving his writers the best opportunities they can to develop. And I always thought that was kind of a cool thing.
Yeah, it's a cool, like, full circle thing. And Jeff, like, when I was interning at AMC and then working there, that was my first, like, you know, paid gig out of school until I got a writing deal. But he helped my wife and I figure out where to move, what part of town would be good, cheap but still close enough to town, and all that stuff. So a lot of those kind of life decisions. So it's good. I can call and talk to him about deals I'm trying to do and get that, you know, that really seasoned opinion. You know what I mean? So he's just a friend. It's good to have people that you like. I've never had to work with people I don't like, so I don't know what that's like.
It's just because you guys are from Kentucky, man.
Yeah, Kentucky, there's a bond there. Yeah, there's a bond there. But yeah, love him. Consulting now is great.
As an outsider, I could say you're doing good. I know you're some of your young guys, like Hunter Phelps, has been getting some great cuts. I've been hearing his songs coming in. And then, of course, Brad, who I had the opportunity to sign and probably should have, because I heard Up Down and knew that song would probably be a hit.
I heard that song, and it was, we signed it that week.
Yeah.
And that was part of his schedule. Yeah, you know, that was the ultimate publisher-writer test. Everybody's giving me a hard time, because I had a song out on Blake Shelton called I Lived It, which got to number 2. And got beat on all charts by Up Down by like one play, literally one play on the media-based chart. And it was like, wow, you know? So I was like, all right, am I mad about this? Or, and I was like, no, I mean, that's his first number one. I was thrilled for that, but that was a funny little predicament there. Cause I was like, all right, I'm watching charts for you. I'm rooting for that. And then I'm like, hey, maybe we could split, or maybe we could, you know, let's take turns here, but it didn't happen. So we settled for that one going to two. And, but yeah, that song is so huge. And to see, that's a great one to see. Somebody like Brad, who's such a great hang. Everybody, all I get is great reports back on him as far as like how he was in the room, bringing ideas, you know, bringing his A game. Of course, he's got it in his heritage with Rodney and all that stuff. So, I mean, he knows how hard it is to make it happen. So to see that song hit, and especially like on a new artist too, like Morgan, the combination of all that was really cool. So that happened.
Oh, even the story, because we got to share it, is that Seth happened to be down at Key West and heard it played at a writer's round and fell in love with it. And that's, again, the miracle of Nashville. You can pitch a song a million times. You never know the moment somebody's going to hear it at the right time. Yep. And then it, and so, yeah, you nailed it, though. The first time I met Brad, I remember telling Jeff, I said, I don't know if I'm going to sign him or not, but I know I'm going to be friends with that guy. Right, and he writes with a lot more
important
guys.
So important, yeah.
Such a good hang. So I love that guy. Now, I know Hunter has an artist side to him. Are you looking to get into the artist development
side as
well?
Absolutely, yeah, we're already there. I mean, Hunter, there's a meeting happening right now, you know, as far as more development stuff. We've narrowed it down. We've recorded songs. He's already streamed, you know, several million on Spotify and all that of the last couple things we tried. But then we took a little break to gather up and get the best stuff. So there's four songs, you know, that are getting recorded now, or some of them are already done. So he'll have a launch coming up soon.
That's
good to know. We'll kind of do all that in-house and then see what happens. You know what I mean? That way we can do a lot of the creative process ourselves. We really trust that we know the songs and the sound and all that. So he's great. I mean, and he's getting lots of outside cuts. He had the last two Florida Georgia Line songs that came out on iTunes. And, you know, he's gotten there. You know, it's taken 2 or 3 years to make it happen, but now he knows. You know, he knows the difference in the good stuff and the great stuff. So he's a pleasure to work with for sure.
Yeah, he's a good one. He's got that nice crew that he's running with.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, the whole crew.
I tell any of my young guys, two of the most important things is be like a sponge and absorb everything. Be a good hang. I guess it's three things. And then network. Find your crew. You're always going to find, because you're writing with some of the same people you've written with for years.
It's so important. We put that's one of our goals. When we sign those guys, that's one of our first things. Like, hey, we gotta get them in a crew that they're comfortable with, and that they feel like they can succeed, to challenge each other, you know, not just to run around, go to bars with, but to actually that they'll be like, hey, I got an idea, come over at midnight and let's put it down. So it's been fun to see Matt and Zach have had a lot of success together, you know, which we obviously paired them up. And like I said, the three of them have been on a song together. First three guys I signed that was a number one for Billy Currington. So that kind of stuff is always fun. Like, wow, okay, we helped cultivate these relationships, and now they take them and run with them. So that's happened. All our guys have those little crews that they're in that really make everything better.
As a writer and a publisher, and you have you have to balance the side of, I have to come in and run a business, but I also have to, at the end of the day, be creative, which is what gave me that opportunity to create that business. Do you find a struggle sometimes in that, or how do you find the balance for yourself?
Yeah, it's just the common struggle of there being enough time in the day to do everything that you want to do, and then realizing there's just not, and there never will be. So you have to prioritize, you know, what you want to do. So there are some rights that I know would be great that I may not do, and I may take that day as a meeting or a mentoring day. So there's a lot of days. We have offices at our where we live, like on our property. We have a studio and a couple offices where we can work from there sometimes, get away from everything, and I may have everybody come in for an hour, hour and a half, you know, artists we're meeting with or all of our writers, and sit and play songs. And that's a day that, you know, somewhere in my mind, in another time, I would be like, oh, I should be in there writing. I've got, you know, I should be writing instead of doing this. But right now, I feel like that's what I should be doing. So it's a good it's a good balance for me. It's not a balance per se. It's just making it all happen. You know what I mean? So there are some times where I don't, I won't do it right because I do have a meeting if it's at a label or with a potential artist or somebody we're going to sign. So, and that's why I've always said, like, you got to really have a passion for that. If you're just 100% a writer and you're just trying to do this on the side, especially if you're just doing it for like extra income, I don't think that will ever work. If it's something you have a burning desire for, you know, I'm still pretty confident that me just writing 24/7 is the best way if it's just money based, you know what I mean? Right. Then it's not doing the publishing. That's something that I want to do. So it's got to be, you know, it's got to be something that you have a passion for, like I said, and that you have a knack and have a skill set for. So the balance is just sacrificing a little bit of that, you know, a little bit of those songs. And then when you have the time in the writing room, making it work, doing some pregame, coming up with some ideas at night, you know what I mean? And making sure you're spending your time where you want to spend it.
Well, you know, your reputation on Music Row is the machine, because everybody says how you never stop. And, like, you're always going, you write multiple times. The jokes are endless of, well, we got to do this thing and break. But you're like, no, we can write before that. And let's just go ahead and start writing. And so the question would be, do you ever sleep? Do you ever really get any sleep, especially with the family?
I don't like sleeping. Sleeping, it's not like I, you know. My wife and daughter's like, oh, they curl up in the bed like it's such a cool, I hate it. You know, I wish we didn't have to go to sleep ever. So yeah, I sleep because you have to, because that's the way God designed it, but only for that. Not that I'm like up all night or anything like that, but I definitely like, you know, a lot of that stuff when people are saying, oh, I'm writing, I don't do doubles and I don't do all these. I used to. There was a time where I was on such a grind and had such a creative flow going on that I just had a lot of stuff in my head and I had to get it out, you know? So there have been incidents and we've had hits because of it where we're like, hey, why are we starting at 11:30? You know, what's everybody doing at like 8?
Nah.
You know? And you're really more creative then. So a lot of people would be like, oh, well, let's just do that. You know? So there've been a few magical days where we've written a hit, you know, because we wrote from 8 to 11 before the 11 o'clock started, you know. At the same time, I've always, you know, coached my kids and things like that. So a lot of days, you know, all that quick, me being a machine, any of that stuff just comes from the fact that a lot of days I got to be home like 2:30 or 3, you know, so I will definitely not take lunch. You know, everybody's bringing lunches. That's how it's going to probably be.
does that text go out in the morning?
No, everybody I work with really does that now. I think it's changed from back when I used to just, you know, work here and lunches were a 2-hour thing and everybody go home at 6. Now it's like, well, instead of that 2 hours, let's go home at 3:30, avoid the newfound traffic we have here.
Yeah.
And also, you know, when you got people with a family, you know, if you got somebody with a family, kids that are in school and, or that have games and you said you want to start at 8:30 or 9, they're like, yeah, you know, you can get out of there at 3 or 3:30. I'm more creative then probably, you know, you miss the 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock, you know. At 3 o'clock, I hate everything I've done the whole day. So if I can get the song done before that, it's good. So
yeah, that's my slide down of energy for sure. Yeah. I kind of get a boost back after about 6 or 7, everybody's settled in at home, and then I get back on my emails. Yeah. But yeah,
I'm not a relax. There's some writers and they're brilliant. I wish I was one, but where they can relax and take in the lyric and really live with it and let it marinate, and then kind of like it's a poem. And I am not that way. So I like feel rushes of energy and just yell out everything I can think of, whether it sucks or not, you know, melodically and lyrically, and try to record it while it's coming out. And then, you know, it's just more that it's more of an aggressive process, you know, so it works for some, it's fun though. We always have a great time. I wrote today with Hillary Lindsay and Luke Laird, so I didn't have to do too much cause they're amazing. But you know, we were just laughing and there's times I was laughing. I mean, like where I have to leave the room to catch my breath. So it can be really fun when you have chemistry with people. But it usually comes in spurts for me. It's not like there's no silence in the room. I don't deal well with that. I want somebody to be saying something.
Yeah, you and I, it's the same. That's the kind of mind. And also for me, and I kind of gather from your rhythm, is the busier I am, the more effective I tend to be. I don't do well with downtime, and it's just a natural thing. I don't think everybody can operate like me, but my wife, I pace. I just need something to do. Yeah. It keeps me happy.
We've discussed in my house, I was like, I wish this was like I was a anesthesiologist or something where you're on, fireman, whatever it is, where you go in for 3 days and then you leave. Like I would much rather, you know, if I didn't have kids and there weren't certain schedules, then I would rather go in Monday at 9, come back, you know, Wednesday at midnight and never come out. You know what I mean? Just binge and then take a trip somewhere. You know, like it would be better that way, and no calls or emails or anything in that time. Like, if in a perfect world, that would be great, you know, but can't do that. So. Yeah.
Well, I know that's got to also be inspiring for your young writers. Again, I mean, in all humble humility, your reputation for that is what I use that as an example. And you and your crew, really, all like Frazier's the same. Like,
yeah, he's great at it.
When these kids go, I want to be like him, I said, well, you know how you got that. It's not, I actually tell him, I said, it's not by leaving at 3 o'clock, even though you just said that. So now you got it. But I like,
oh, no, that's new. Now, those guys don't have kids. They don't have somebody playing ball at four. They better stay there.
There you go.
They know that. It's like, hey, why would nobody should leave before me? What are y'all doing?
Well, even my old friend Bobby Panton, I said, man, he would actually, they used to start at like 9. He would be there at 9, mostly because he probably spent the night there. But he'd start at 9, and then they would take a lunch, and they'd come back, more, and then go have dinner and probably come back after some drinks and keep writing. It's just it's a beast.
Oh, man, I've got Will Weatherly writes for Tape Room. He's amazing.
We didn't mention him. He's another one.
Yeah, he's doing great right now. I want to make sure I mention everybody, too, but he's doing so good with Kane Brown and FGL, and he's had all these great cuts. He's finally got a hit that's out right now, Kane Brown's song, Lose It, but... I mean, he was writing till 5 a.m. the other day, coming back from the Kane trip, and they ended up recording the song at like 9 or 10 or whenever they started.
He's been working with my young artist Alex Hall, and they're getting ready to put their song out.
Oh, yeah, they know what's up. So he's a great. Yeah. Like I came to a basketball camp thing. My kids were playing at Belmont. It was like 8 o'clock, and there's an hour gap before they had another game. And I was like, hey, I already knew he was going to say I'm at the studio. I was like, hey, where you at? I got an hour. And he was like, oh, in the studio, man. So I came over there, checked out whatever he was working on. So those guys know. I mean, they know we talk all the time, all of us. So they know what it takes, you know, that it's no accident. And I don't have nobody that's lazy at all, you know, because they know. You know, there's such a personal interaction with all of us that when they have questions, they ask them, and they see us. You know, they'll see them, hear me in the other room, you know, fighting over chorus melody for 3 hours. And so they know what it takes to get there.
Thanks for listening to the Nashville AIMP Pubcast. For more information, check out AIMP.org or follow us at Nashville AIMP on Instagram. The Nashville AIMP would like to give a shout out to our sponsors, Jamber and Sound Exchange. Jamber wants to know if you're looking for an easier way to capture song splits at the point of creation and organizing your catalog. Jamber is our podcast sponsor, and they are offering listeners a first look at their songwriter and publisher apps that allow songwriters to collaborate when inspiration strikes. Go to jamber.com/AIMP to sign up today. Sound Exchange develops business solutions for the entire music industry. They collect and distribute royalties on behalf of more than 155,000 recording artists, master right owners, and music publishers. Sound Exchange have paid out more than $5 billion in royalties. SXWorks serves the licensing administration needs of music publishers around the world and operates CMRRA, which represents music publishers and administers mechanical rights for the majority of songs recorded, sold, and broadcast in Canada. We appreciate you listening to the Nashville Pubcast. Stay tuned for an all-new episode next week.